Check, check. Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you all this morning. My name is Josh Lockhart. I'm one of the pastors over at Waiahu Community Church over in Waiahu. Just a hop, skip, and a jump over that way. For those of you, probably about 5 minutes from the airport. Anyway, it's my privilege to be able to bring the word to you folks this morning. If you have not already turned in your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12, 14. For me to got it. Yeah, good. All right. This morning, Joe over there working the soundboard said, "Josh, you're going to be the guinea pig today." Trying to use the lapel. Lapel didn't work, so we're back to the handheld. Anyway, again, you can turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. This is what it says. This is God's word. "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." If you would pray with me for just a brief moment. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that your word is living and active, Lord, and you left it for us to know you and know what your will is for us, to leave us behind commandments to follow while we gloriously wait for your return. We thank you that you've dispatched the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, but you've dispatched your Spirit to live in each and every one of us, Lord, that we might know your word by what you instruct us by your Spirit. And so this morning, would you help us in our weakness? Would you help me in my weakness to be able to clearly proclaim your word this morning, that it would equip the saints for the work of ministry, like it says in Ephesians, that you've prepared in advance for us to do before the foundations of the earth were laid. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Do what only you can do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As Pastor Van mentioned earlier, the title of my sermon this morning is Working While We Wait. Working While We Wait. And this last holiday season over in Waiahu, we've been spending December thinking about Advent. You might be sitting there thinking, oh yeah, Advent, that's a pretty good topic for December as it's the Christmas season, right? Advent, if you don't know, is the Latin word. It just means arrival. And but particularly this holiday season, we were thinking through Christ's second advent, that praise the Lord, his plan of salvation was turning and he came right 2,000 plus years ago as a baby. And we know the gospel story, and we know that his story doesn't end with him just dying on the cross and rising again. But his story will continue and is continuing on today in the fact that we know that he promised that he will come again. And so this last season, we were preaching through a few different sermons of causing our congregation to think about Christ's second advent. So as we know, Christ is going to come again, what do we do? What is it that we are called to do as Christians while we wait? Are we to just sit on our hands and wait around? Just waiting for something to happen. Ah, he's going to come. I don't know when. Let's just hang out. You want to hang out? Let's hang out. Wait for Jesus to come back. Do we allow that thought that because we don't know exactly when he's going to come, do we allow that thought to cause us to slip into, like Pastor Van talked about earlier, slip into idleness and slothfulness and laziness? Because I don't know about you guys, but for most of the time, I struggle with procrastination. Like, if I know I have a lot of time, I tend to put things on the back burner. Who's like that? struggle with procrastination. That's me, man. I think like that all the time. Oh, I have lots and lots of time. Shucks, I have lots of time to do this or to get that thing done. So I'm just going to wait. I'm going to do, like again, like what Pastor Van warned us about. I'm just going to doom scroll a little bit on Facebook or Instagram. Or I'm going to get caught up in that new series that's on whatever. Name your streaming device, platform. It's only Tuesday, right? I preach on Sunday. I got lots of time. Well, the answer to the question is, do we allow this thought of thinking of Christ coming, do we allow it to let us settle into slothfulness? The answer is no. Like my title of my sermon this morning, we're meant to work while we wait. We're meant to serve the Lord while we wait. Because this is exactly the type of behavior that I want to encourage each and every one of you to avoid. Avoid slothfulness. Avoid idleness. Avoid this spirit, this attitude of procrastination. I get plenty time. No, you don't have plenty time. Kia Baptist, this morning, I want you to guard yourselves from falling into the trap of believing that you have lots and lots of time to do the things that Christ has called you to do. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's a glorious truth. But when? We don't know. And praise the Lord, yes, it does seem as if we do have lots of time until he comes again. But that does not give us an excuse to be lazy. Don't use that as an excuse to slide into spiritual slothfulness and laziness. Thinking again, right? Thinking to ourselves, I get plenty of time. I can wait to check in on that member who hasn't been to church in a while. I can wait to check in on my pastor. He's the pastor, bro. He get them all together, right? He's the man of God. Please don't let yourself fall into that thinking either. Pastors are men, just as liable and able and prone, as the hymn says, prone to wander as any regular old saint. Right? I have lots of time. I can put off family worship. I can put off my time in the Word. I can put off prayer. My heart for you this morning in this sermon is to motivate you to work while you wait, not to sit idle, not to grow cold of this truth, that indeed Jesus will, as the Nicene Creed confesses, come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But until that time, church, you have work to do. You have personal work to do in your life with the Lord. You have work to do in your church community. You have work to do in your family. We got lots of work to do, church. So as we anticipate this great truth, what do we do while we eagerly wait? We work. We work. In this chapter, Paul is trying to encourage believers to live in a way that honors Christ, especially in anticipation of his return. The promise of Christ's second coming serves as both a comfort and a challenge. It's a great comfort, amen, for those of us who have trusted in Christ. It's a great comfort to know that the pains, the troubles, the worries, the trials that you experience in this life will not last. Whether it be that the Lord takes you home in glory, or he comes again in glory. These things that we experience in life, these hardships, will not last. That even the greatest highs of life, the most filling, joy-filling experiences here will be outdone when God comes back, when the Lord returns in glory. It's a great comfort for us, the saints. It's also a great challenge, Because like I touched on just a moment ago, we are short-sighted people. We're fixated on what's in front of us. What are my kuleana? What are my responsibilities for today? Oh, I got to get this done at work, and I got to get this done at work. Oh, what time of the month is it? It's after the 10th. I got to file the business taxes. Our minds get so consumed with things that we forget. We're short-sighted people. We get fixed on what's in front of us. And in our passage this morning, we see the Apostle Paul continuing to exhort the believers to on how they should conduct themselves while they're waiting for the day of Christ's return. The big idea of my sermon this morning, if you take home anything this morning, this is what I want you to write down if you're taking notes. Store it in your gigabyte memory in your brain. The certainty of Christ's return should shape how we live today. It calls us, particularly in our text this morning, to respect and honor our leaders, to live at peace with one another, and to actively care for those who are struggling in their faith. We are to be motivated to do three things this morning in our text. First, like I said just a moment ago, respect and honor the leaders in your church. Number two, live in peace with one another. And three, actively care for those who are struggling in the faith. Let's look at our first point. Respect and honor our church leaders. In light of Christ's return, because of this great hope that we have that Jesus said he's going to come back for his bride, in the meantime, while we wait, we should honor our leaders. Verse 12 says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Paul exhorts us that while we wait to honor the Lord, honor those whom the Lord has appointed over you. Your pastors, and Lord willing, one day soon, your deacons, those are the people whom the Lord has placed over you here at Kihei Baptist. And if you're a visitor, just transform your brain for wherever your local church is, wherever you're from. Yeah, honor your leaders, your pastors, your elders. The Lord is calling you to do that here this morning. First and foremost, we should honor our church leaders because they've been appointed by God. As they labor among you, KBC, love them and care for them as they seek to love and care for you. The Lord has put them over you to teach you, to guide you, and to admonish you when you need it. Their kuleana, their responsibility, is to equip you for everything that Christ has commanded you to do. I love in the Hawaiian Bible translation, one of the words that's used here is ho'oikaika, and it means to make strong, right? E ho'oikaika ko'ukino. I'm going to make my body strong. This idea here, I love it because it really drives home this idea that our leaders are trying. Their goal is to strengthen you, church. Their goal is to strengthen your spirit, to strengthen you and make you ready for the great day of the Lord in his coming. He wants to, your pastors want to make you strong, to strengthen your faith. And their labor is not only to benefit the church, but ultimately it's meant for the glory of God in light of Christ's return. Like I said, their goal and their responsibility is to make you fit and ready for the coming day of the Lord. Honor them. Love them for it. Verse 13 continues, "And esteem them very highly in love because of their work." In anticipation of Christ's return, the church's kuleana is to respect and highly esteem its leaders. Again, recognizing that they are serving Christ and his kingdom first and foremost, by serving you. This honor is not merely due to the position, but it is the weight of their spiritual labor. Don't just honor them and love them because they have a title in front of their name. Honor them and love them because Christ has called you to love them. You love Jesus, love his underling, his under shepherds. Love his deacons that he's placed over you. This respect should be rooted in love, understanding that their labor is ultimately for the eternal purposes of God. KBC, this is a great opportunity for you guys to do some self-evaluation. How am I honoring my pastors? For you visitors here this morning, do some good self-evaluation. How am I honoring my pastors and deacons back home? How am I honoring my pastors that the Lord has placed over me for my care? This here can be both an encouragement as well as an admonishment. If you're honoring and loving your pastors, praise God. Do it more. And encourage others around you to do it too. Some ways that you can practically care for and honor your pastors. I said it earlier, check in on them. Find out how you can pray for them. Find out what it is that they're bearing that you can help them bear the load in prayer. Maybe there's some practical things that you can help them with, like I don't take them to coffee. Maybe they want to go out and they want to be able to get to know you more and love you more. Find out what you need prayer for. Help them to fight sin and encourage them up in the Lord. Again, like I said just a few moments ago, take them out to lunch. Invite them and their families over for dinner. Another great way you can love and serve your elders, your pastors, your deacons. Be their friend. Get to know them. We're called to be part of a community. And you can't be part of a community if you don't know those in your community. Let alone know the person who's meant to love you and guide you and equip you for the good works that Christ has called us to do. Another good one, practically loving your pastors. Love their wives. Treat them well. Encourage their wives. Wives have a front row seat into the inner turmoils that pastors go through in the life of ministry. Love their wives. On the flip side, if you aren't loving and honoring your leaders, now's the time to start. Right? New year, new me, 2025, let's go. Yeah? Your attitude towards your leaders should reflect love, not just duty. Don't do it begrudgingly. Don't just, I got to check off this box and check in on Pastor Bob, or I got to take Pastor Van out to coffee because the Lord said I got to love him, you know? Don't do things begrudgingly. Do it because you love them. And if you don't love them, get to know them. I'm sure you're going to find a reason to love them. In the light of Christ's second coming, we should honor those who help prepare the church for his return. Jesus will return, and he will reward faithful service, rewarding both the faithful service of those who are leading the church, but also the faithful service of those who have honored and respected their leaders. Honoring leaders is a reflection of recognizing their role in preparing us for that great day. That was our first point, belaboring that point again, right? Just honor your leaders, love them, get to know them, be their friends, help them fight sin, encourage them in the Lord. Number two, striving for peace among the believers. Verse 13 says, "Be at peace among yourselves." We are encouraged while we wait, not just to maintain the peace, right? We don't want to just maintain the status quo. right? But we need to be active. We need to be in active participation in the building up of peace and unity in this local church. We cannot just be okay with the way that things are. We have to desire to grow in godliness, in community, to fight for peace. Peace among believers is essential. And in light of the second coming of the Lord, we must prioritize unity and harmony within the church, as it is a reflection of Christ doing work in each and every one of us. The truth is that Satan and his demons are constantly trying to undermine this peace, trying to sow seeds of strife and division in our midst, whether it be through a small comment that was made or said about something, or an offense taken because, I don't know what you guys deal with here at KBC, but, you know, we have at WCC, at Wild Community Church, we have all of our little things. Oh, I think this needs to be that way, and I think that needs to be that way. And when it doesn't go our way, we get a little bit bent out of shape, and then we get a little bit offended. And you guys is not the same way, though, at KBC. There can be any number of things that would threaten our peace here in the church, our unity in the church. And I bet each and every one of us could name a handful of things that we experience when living in community with one another that sometimes just might rub us the wrong way. All of that is both our human sinfulness and the enemy's work to try to undermine the witness of Christ that we have in our community. It's all schemes of the enemy to tarnish the name of Christ here in Kihei. Those guys down Kihei Baptist, they cannot get along. What makes you think that their God can get along? He's a triune God. Maybe they're arguing with each other too. Bruh, we got to guard our peace. We got to guard our unity so that from the outside looking in, they can see the glory of Christ, the peace of Christ, the grace of Christ that is here for every sinner that would call upon the name of the Lord, being reflected through the members of this glorious church. You're surrounded by a field that is ready to be harvested, church. We got to work, amen? And it starts with doing the work here in the local church, fighting for the unity and the peace among yourselves. KBC, as we await his return, we should be committed to resolving conflicts, forgiving one another, and working towards reconciliation. Christ will come to establish his peace fully, right? I call this the now and not yet. Now we can experience Christ's peace, but it's fleeting, yeah? We're always chasing after joy. We're chasing after this rest that we talked about earlier with Pastor Van. When Christ comes, his peace will rest and have no end. And we get to think about that. We get to glory in that time that is to come. As his people, we are called to reflect that peace that Christ brings here and now. Our relationships with one another are our testimonies to the world of what is to come. Here are some practical things that we can do to keep the peace with one another here at church. Encourage regular self-examination and humility. Try to get out of yourself, right? Think of the other person's perspective. They might still be wrong, right? As you think about what offended you and why it offended you. Maybe you could think of another way how you could have addressed it or brought it up differently so that Christ would be honored and peace would be maintained and strengthened. Another thing that you can do is just straight up do the Nike thing. Just do it. Commit to it. Commit to resolving conflicts biblically and quickly. Commit to these things. Swallow your pride, because we all got pride. Amen? and seek our reconciliation with our brothers or sisters if peace is broken. I always think of Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Another version of that verse says, forgive as quickly and as thoroughly as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. That one gets me every time, because I get some pride. Local people, we get pride. We're hard-nosed, hard-headed people, and we want to fight the Spirit. Don't fight the Spirit. Commit to forgiving and forgiving quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, a prisoner of Christ, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be eager to fight for peace in this church, eager to fight for peace in your families and in your households. Build bridges with each other. Build bridges of understanding rather than walls of division. I encourage each and every one of you to learn about one another and get to know one another. Each member of this church is called to covenant with one another, to help each other grow, and to help each other follow the commands that Christ has left us to do until he returns or calls us home. Now, the truth is, if you're called to do these things as members of KBC, to hold one another accountable, to love one another, and to keep each other from straying, you cannot do that if you don't know one another. You cannot do that if you just know that's Brado who sits in the third row and comes on Sundays. You have to be intentional in your relationships with one another if you're going to guard the unity of this church. If you're going to live up to the vows that you've taken before the Lord when you became a member of this church. How am I going to know what sins you need help fighting if I don't know what sins you have a propensity towards? How are you going to know I need help because my whole family is sick if you don't communicate with me, nor I with you? Church, I just want to encourage you guys. The Lord is calling us to do big things. Don't get caught up in all the nitty-gritty nonsense stuff. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your brothers. Fight for the unity that God has placed in this church. Guard it, maintain it, and grow it. Again, we will all have a hard time doing these things that I'm calling you guys to on behalf of the Lord in this text if you don't know one another. You can't help each other bear each other's burdens if you don't know what those burdens are. Which leads us to our third and final point, caring for the body of Christ. Verse 14 says, "And we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle." The idle here in verse 14 are those who are spiritually lazy or disengaged from the work of the kingdom. Paul calls the church to confront this in love and accountability. In light of Christ's return, we cannot afford, church, you cannot afford spiritual laziness. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And if you are the spiritual, slothful, lazy person in this church, you will be devoured. This further builds off the applications that I just made. As believers, we need to encourage each other to remain active in our faith and mission. It could be something as simple as calling up Brother Austin and say, Austin, what day of the week do you have that we can get together for 30 minutes and read the Bible together? Right? Calling up Jess. Jess, what is one day out of your week we can get together real quick and pray for one another? How can I pray for you? Right? And mind you, all of this being back to my other point I made earlier about swallowing your pride. If you have pride, you can't admit that you're lazy. No. I mean, I know I don't read all the time, but I read sometimes. You know what I mean? At least I'm listening to K-Love. Right? Power for encouraging K-Love. I don't listen to K-Love. I don't know if that's actually what they say. But you know what I mean? Like, swallow your pride, do these things, and watch the Lord work. Amen? Watch the work. The Lord just work that laziness right out of you. We have a kuleana to one another, a responsibility not to let each other grow idle or stagnant in our faith. We should gently admonish those who are passive or are neglecting their calling. Because the truth is, church, you are saved. You are saved that you would glorify God and allow him to use you as an avenue to save others. Kia Baptist Chapel, do not sit idly by while your brother and your sister slips into stagnation. The remembrance of Christ's return should bring to our minds his coming judgment. His second coming will bring accountability. We must urge one another to be vigilant and faithful in our service, living with an eternal perspective. Verse 14 continues, encourage the faint-hearted. As we wait, we'll go through seasons of joys and seasons of trials. And as the church, we need to be sensitive to one another so that we can see when our brothers or sisters are going through a particular trial, or when our brothers and sisters are discouraged or are struggling. Right? You're not going to know that Bobby Joe that sits in the third row is going through stuff if you just know his name is Bobby Joe and he sits in the third row. If you don't know his job, you don't know his family life, you don't know his spiritual life, you're not going to be able to be spiritually discerning if he's sitting idle or if he's slipping into stagnation. When others in their faith are weary and facing trials, we must come alongside them with words of life and hope. The hope of Christ's return in and of itself is a source of great encouragement. We must help each other keep our eyes fixed on the promise of his coming, where all suffering will end. Amen. Look with me again at verse 14. Simply help the weak. The weak refer to those who may be physically, emotionally, or spiritually fragile. The church is called to be a place where the weak are strengthened and supported. And we must demonstrate Christ's compassion by offering practical and spiritual help to those who are struggling. Christ will return to restore all things. And until that day, we, the church, need to be his hands and feet, caring for those in need. Lastly, the last part of verse 14, be patient with them all. The icing on top of all of this beautiful cake that we put together before us this morning is patience. Patience while you wait. Work with patience, work with diligence, work with discernment by loving your pastors, loving your elders, your deacons, loving the fellow members of your church well. All of that's going to take patience. It's not going to happen overnight. Praise God that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And it is especially needed in a community that is waiting for Christ's return. How many have ever just like Pastor Bob mentioned today, the fires in California, these horrible disasters, horrible things that happen that just grip your heart and just say, Lord, just could you come back already? My heart's sore. I remember it particularly after the Las Vegas shooting. I just, for whatever reason, bro, I spiraled into like a spiritual depression. Like, bro, these guys are just at a concert and then somebody just goes and shoot them all up. Like, God, Lord, we just need you to come back already. You know? But he gonna come back when he gonna come back. Not when I say come back or when you say come back. So in the meantime, we gotta have patience. Patience while we wait. The growth of a Christian, of Christian life takes time. And we must show patience with one another as we wait for Christ's appearing. Because the truth is, right, church, we're all in different stages of our Christian walk. We're all in different stages of our life. We're not all here in this room together at all the same age, right? We're all in different varying degrees of age. I see little kids, and I see kupuna, right? I see elders. The same is true in our spiritual faith. There are some of us maybe in our midst that are newly baptized, newly coming into the faith. And then there's some in our midst who have been walking with the Lord for years. We all have things to teach one another and to learn from one another. Patience with one another demonstrates the love of Christ and reflects our hope in his return when all things will be made right. Christ's return should cultivate patience within us as we wait for the full redemption of our bodies and this world. Until that day, we are called to be patient with each other in love. As I conclude this morning, as we wait for Jesus' return, our lives should be marked by the three things that we talked about this morning, right? Respect for our leaders in the church, peace with one another, and a deep, deep commitment to caring for each other in the body of Christ. The certainty of Christ's second coming should shape our behavior, our relationships, our attitudes towards everyone around us. I want to challenge you guys as we close to ask yourselves some questions. How does the promise of Christ's return impact the way that you live today? Are you seeing this idea, this truth that Christ will come again, like we just said earlier, right? He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Know this, church. He's not coming again to love everybody the way he came the first time. He's coming in on a war horse. He's coming to bring judgment and accountability. And until that day, we have the kuleana to help others get ready for that moment. Are you ready? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? Austin was talking to me, this is a while back. He's talking about how he's getting into street preaching. Rob, praise God. Ask anyone and everyone just passing by. Are you ready for the day of the Lord? Maybe they're not one Christian, but it might be a good wake-up call. Am I ready for the day of the Lord? What does that even mean? Hey, come back. What does that mean? Am I ready for the day of the Lord? Right? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? Are you actively honoring and supporting your leaders? Are you promoting peace in the church? Are you looking out for the weak, the idle, and the faint-hearted? If you are doing some of these things, praise God. Question to ask yourself, how can I be doing these things even better? Or more often? And if you aren't, what do you need to do to make these things a priority in your life? Let us live with the reality of Christ's return in our mind. As we look forward to the day when he will set all things right, let us be faithful in how we live, how we care for others, and how we build up the church. Would you pray with me? Lord, we mahalo you for your word that is living and active, that is equipping us for the work of ministry, equipping us to love our leaders, equipping us to maintain and grow and protect the unity of the bond of peace in our church. We thank you, Lord, that your word equips us to love those in our midst, the weak and the needy and the idle. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you illumine the word and instruct us. We thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your mercy fully displayed on the cross. We thank you for saving us from our sin and bringing us into new life with you. We pray that you would continue to give us a sense of urgency in living faithfully as we patiently wait for your return. Lord, we ask if there are any in our midst this morning that are straying or struggling, would you please strengthen us? Would you give us endurance as we seek to love and to honor you well? As we seek to honor our leaders, pursue peace, and care for those in our midst, help us to be ready for every good work, that we would be vigilant in our relationships as we support one another as we wait for that glorious day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.